We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Yeah, no, it's just like...
I just wanted you to say House Money.
Yeah, but you pitch on opening day. That's a big deal, right? We talked about it earlier. Yeah. The bunting will be there. Packed house. A lot of excitement. The game ends. Tomorrow's the off day. And then the grind of the season starts. Then it's Saturday, then it's Sunday. Crowds are smaller. People are doing other things. It's the weekend. You're rolling. It's baseball season, right? It's a couple innings here, a couple innings there. Everything is magnified today. You realize when we get in here tomorrow, we will be talking about the game. Probably the last time we're breaking down a baseball game, right? But that's what we do
first
on
impression.
Opening day. It's the first impression, right? You go, what did you think of Brady, or not Brady, what did you think of Cole Reagans? What did you think of Hunter Renfroe? What did you think of Vinny Pasquantino? How about Bobby Witt Jr.? How about Salvi? We're all excited for opening day, and we get excited about it. And then the baseball season settles in. And some guys are better at just being settler inners than they are at being that lead dog
the
at the top. Yeah, exactly. There's the settlers. There are a lot of settlers out there.
610 Sports Radio. Did I say this already? KCSP, Kansas City. WDF, HD2 Liberty, and Odyssey Station. I'm banking one for later.
Yes.
You never know.
You never know. I got that in an hour ago.
I couldn't remember what I did 30 seconds ago. A show brought to you by Raider Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com.
But you think about, like, no other opening day, Josh, has that magnitude of what baseball does. Like, opening night in the NBA, people aren't dissecting and judging your whole season on that. Like the NFL this year, we lost the opener to the Lions. By the time the weekend rolled around, we all forgot about that opener. Like, it's just, you just move on and you don't have the opening day. For whatever reason, opening day in baseball is like the most judged opening day in sports. Everybody pays attention. Everybody's excited about it. And everybody makes decisions based on opening day. I mean, there was that old Family Guy skit where the guy hits the first pitch out of the ballpark and the season's over, right? You know, that's how people judge.
Yeah.
And but that being said,
I don't think we have that drop either. But I mean,
I'm sure B-Dub can find that one real
you know,
fast.
That one's
the Family Guy home run on opening day and the first pitch and the season's over, right?
That's recreatable.
But that shows you right there that it's not just Kansas City. It's not just us. Every baseball fan in America is sitting on the edge of their couch today watching opening day, getting excited about opening day. And if the team goes out there and wins, everybody's excited. We're off to a great start. Team goes out there and loses. Oh, no, we suck again. You know, like, we just do that for baseball. We don't do that for any other sport. One of 162 determine everybody's attitude towards the team.
Right.
Because baseball doesn't have days where you have the ability to capture everybody, right? Because there's 162 of them. Today is that one day where you have everybody in your city captured with their undivided attention, paying attention to what you're doing. You damn well better go out there and win. Otherwise, we're all screwed, right? From the 913, can we get another Leewood segment?
It's like you're taking your random request for show.
Maybe monthly at least. Last week after that bit, I went out with a group of people drinking together and we were laughing about it. Good. That's awesome. I appreciate you guys talking about us at the bars.
Yes.
And right from the 620, I love that Family Guy drop. I think about it every opening day. I think about
it. I know.
That,
I do too.
Right?
It's hard not to.
Yeah.
And the season's over.
Because
opening day, and here's the first pitch. and the season's over.
Yeah, that one. That one. It's just so funny and so true.
Right. But it's how many times have we been out there, right? Yeah. How many times have we been out there and Luke Hochaver's towing the slab?
Luke Hochaver did some nice things, okay? Didn't live up to the hype of being the top pick
no
and whatever.
Maybe he didn't.
Right. Okay. But they found a role for him, redeemed himself, was part of, you know, the winning winner.
He was one of the H's in Herrera, Davis, and Holland.
But how often can you go? Remember that time he started opening day, ruined it?
Yeah.
You know, you're like,
how bad was Brad Keller? What was it last year, right?
Yeah.
It was like, oh my God, Brad, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, throw a strike, please.
I know.
You know?
So,
and he
stuff.
Got like we've seen some really bad.
It's unfair,
opening days.
But it's real.
But you're right. It is unfair, but it is reality. People, fans, everybody makes judgments based on baseball season, based on today. And look outside. Could you have asked for a better day? Blue sky, sunshine, 60 degrees, and you got Reagan's on the...
See, we don't have that drop either, I don't think.
No, we don't have that one anymore.
We could probably get a Binkley snort recreated, though, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, how would we do...
We could just have him say it.
Well, no, but I think we could trick him into it. We're
if he's awake. You're on the mound. I mean, that's an all-timer. I can't believe we don't have that one.
Well.
You think Brother Ryan's got that somewhere?
Mm-mm.
No,
mm-mm.
You've asked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. None of us were very good at saving extra stuff, so why would you?
Right.
It's here. Why, you know.
The good news now with the new spy cameras they got set up is we can see who's stealing.
That's
the
sound somebody said on the text line, which is valid. Next time somebody erases everything, you'll know who it is because the hallway cam.
Yeah,
that's true.
That is true. That's exactly right. Who's that guy? Is he stealing our sound bites?
Yeah. What's he going in there and hitting delete for?
Yeah. From the 913. I was at that opening day when Hochaver pitched.
Right.
Sitting in the Diamond Club with my mother. I was in fifth grade. Little did I know it was the worst opening day in Royals history. No, I think you're right about that.
Yeah.
And it was snowing and it was cold and it was miserable and it was just like, oh, this is perfect. Luke Hochaver's on the mound. And it was against the Indians, if I'm not mistaken.
It is a nice day from the 913, but you got to watch out for that high sky.
Could be today.
It's true.
Yeah, high sky today.
It is a high sky.
And all the hype. Here are the built-in baseball excuses. 3 o'clock, not a normal start time. All the pregame pageantry. A lot
of
people. They had to wait around.
They had to wait to get through
all the built-in baseball excuses that we've heard over the years.
Opening day's not an easy one because you have to wait all day.
Yeah.
It's just different than every
other
game.
You normally play at 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
So you're not really waiting all day.
Baseball tricks you into thinking that.
And you, you're right. You got to wait all day.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait a second. You play 7 o'clock games every night.
Yeah, yeah. Bob has a Chiefs article that he really doesn't like. We'll get to it next.
Fesco in the morning. Weekdays starting at 6 on your home for Royals baseball. 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, is going to join us coming up at 8:30. Royals baseball this afternoon. He gets you started at 2 with pregame coverage. 3:10 first pitch here on 610 Sports Radio. But first, an article you hate.
I mean, there's a lot that I think is stupid out there that they write. They don't know what they're talking about. And I think this is the most uneducated take on the Chiefs this offseason that I've seen. And this comes from MSN. I don't know. When I turn on my computer and the MSN page comes up, and it's all scare tactic articles. And then 50 great foods in each state. I'm like, I'll click on that, right?
That's why it's still there.
No, that's exactly why I still have it up there. Because anytime somebody sends me an article or feed, you know, it's in my feed or whatever about the what food each state is famous for. That was yesterday, right? What do you think Kansas is famous for? The most famous food in the state of Kansas?
Cherry mash.
Kansas food.
Mm-hmm.
Wheatgrass shake.
No, that's a good one. That's a really good one, right? The most famous food in the state of Kansas, the state that the food that the state is known most for, fried chicken. Because you know that the KFC is Kansas fried chicken.
Well, no, isn't that Chicken Mary and Chicken Alice or whatever that had the I don't remember the story, and I remember the
down names. In Pittsburgh, right? Chicken Mary and Chicken Annie's, and they fight over across the street,
right?
And then there was that place out in Abilene that made the fried chicken. The hotel, the Bates Motel, I think it was called, or something in Abilene that served fried chicken that people would go to all the time. But that place is closed. Fried chicken. What do you think the number one food that the state of Missouri is known for?
Barbecue.
Close. Burnt ends.
Okay.
That's legit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's legit. I'm fine with that. They said barbecued burnt ends. You know, like, that's just burnt ends, people. But the fried chicken thing in Kansas, like, maybe I'm mistaken. I'm not a huge fried chicken guy, but is fried chicken like the number one food you think of when you think of the state of Kansas?
I mean, unless I'm stealing barbecue and moving it over the state line, which is fine.
Right,
I mean,
right.
There's
it's the area.
Kansas side. But I would, otherwise I would not know.
No, you wouldn't say Kansas. But maybe you would say, I don't even know, like, I don't even know, quite honestly. I have no idea what I would say the food of Kansas.
But I know there's the battling
chicken
places in Pittsburgh. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah, it was a battling chicken female names. You know,
that's all I can remember.
I remember that was a big thing. So maybe that would make a list.
Barry from the Jays texting us, the Brookville Hotel in Abilene. I think the Brookville Hotel has closed, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. A lot of people texting in Brookville. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you can still get the chicken. Maybe, I don't know if you can still get the fried chicken or whatnot, but I think the hotel itself is closed, or maybe like a roadside stand where you can get like a boysenberry pie as well.
Hmm.
So anyway, like I was just kind of like chicken, fried chicken is the number one food for the state of Kansas. How boring.
Oh,
right. Like give me something like even Nebraska had Runza, right?
Yeah. Was Iowa loose meat sandwiches?
No, it was not.
Okay.
No, it was not.
Was it corn?
No, it was not.
Okay.
No, it was not. Oh. It was tenderloin.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The tenderloin sandwich. Choice. Yeah. No, true. That was really good.
That's true. Yeah.
The Iowa tenderloin, man. Really good. Yeah.
Jonesy's. Go to Jonesy's.
Somebody's saying the chili and cinnamon rolls. Yeah, that is definitely a Kansas thing, right?
That could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. So, article you didn't like. We'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, when an article's written by Hip Toro, you should.
Never heard of him.
But I'm a sucker. I click on these things.
So
like,
it's on
worst
MSN, but it's,
for the Chiefs
it literally
ever!
Says. Story by Hip Toro, which is they have AI writing stories too. Probably
they probably do. Yeah.
All right. Hip
Toro, one word, right? Hip Toro,
correct.
The Kansas City.
I am Hip Toro,
right? And it's about the Chiefs are eyeing Xavier Worthy, targeting offense boost and bold draft strategy. I'm like, all right, let me click and see what this is about. So I'm reading this article and I get to this line. Now, as they eye an unprecedented three-peat. The need for a dynamic receiver has never been more acute. And I went, what? Have you been watching over the last 3 years of what's gone on here in Kansas City? I can see that comment after they traded Tyreek Hill, right? Oh, got to have a premier receiver.
Which he's mentioned in this article multiple times,
But they went on and won the Super Bowl the first year after Tyreek Hill, right?
Just.
Okay, I can even see this comment. I can even see this comment a year ago, right? Where they got something out of Kadarius Toney and Mecole Hardman played well, but all that kind of stuff. Maybe they needed a dynamic receiver then. Yeah, but they went out and won the Super Bowl again. They've won in back-to-back years. So if you've won the Super Bowl in back-to-back years without that dynamic receiver, why is the need for a dynamic receiver more acute now than it's ever been before, when the Chiefs have just shown you in the last 2 years it would be easier with a dynamic wide receiver, but to say they need one and it's an acute need for the Kansas City Chiefs is absolutely false.
Which is why I have largely stayed away from wide receiver at 32.
Right.
Like, I feel like it's too easy.
Right.
To just say speedy wide receiver at 32.
Right.
Do we really think the rest of the league's going, oh yeah, we got the Chiefs pegged. They're just going to get a speedy wide receiver at 32. I don't think it's going to be that easy.
I don't think it is either because the more I think about it, Josh, the more I'm like, that left tackle's more of a need than wide receiver.
But if the sixth or seventh wide receiver is better than the fifth left tackle,
well, sure.
Receiver. I don't have a problem.
I'm just going based on what I believe are the biggest needs.
I'm probably with you. What is your long-term plan at left tackle is right. More pertinent to me than getting another wide receiver. But I will say getting more dynamic would be better. We saw it was a struggle on offense at times last year. Right. They figured it out. They managed through it. They schemed great. They adjusted. They did all the things they needed to do to make it work and won a Super Bowl.
Right.
Fact. But you can make it easier on yourself if you went kind of back to things that made the offense really hum.
Yeah, right.
And that was getting a burner, or they had a bunch of burners then, right? Mm-hmm. But getting a distinct burner. It wouldn't hurt, but I don't find it to be imperative that, oh man, this is the key to getting it. No, I think you saw last year they're willing and able to adjust and figure out a way and still be successful.
Yeah, because I think the need for a dynamic receiver has never been less acute. Like the biggest thing for the wide receiver truthers and even Patrick Mahomes, I would say, Coach, we need a wide receiver. Patrick, we just won 2 straight Super Bowls without one. All right, I'll see you later. I'm going to go do a commercial. like it's hard to sit here if you're Patrick Mahomes, or even if you're us as fans, and go, they got to get a wide receiver. And they go, we just won back-to-back Super Bowls.
You did it. you did it.
You have just gone out there and proven we don't need to give you all the resources necessary.
Yeah.
I remember we had a guy that worked with us one time. One of our bosses told me, we'll give you all the resources in the world, right? I'm like, oh, okay. And so now, like, the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, like, I need more resources. The Chiefs are like, you're accomplishing so much without resources. We're not going to give you all the resources that you need. We're going to go spend that money and those draft picks on something that may be better for the team. It may not be something that you love. It may be something that's boring like a left tackle, but I think a mainstay at that left tackle is going to go a lot further than going out and getting the next wide receiver, in my opinion, because Patrick has already proven he can do it with just about anybody.
I just don't think it has to be forced.
Right.
Last year you felt like, might need to be forced.
Right.
Now you got, Rashee Rice is pretty good.
Right.
Kelsey's still pretty good. You added Hollywood Brown, who you like. You don't have to force it.
Right.
Be nice if you were able to add to it, but I don't know if you have to force it. And again, I will continue to tell people, whether you like it or not, there's a couple wide receivers that are still on their roster that might still be on their roster come opening day that you aren't that thrilled about.
Right. Somebody on the text line says, the word acute, maybe you're misinterpreting this word acute. It says acute is small. I actually looked it up before I decided on this topic, Josh, because I was like, yeah, acute. Let me make sure I'm reading it right. And I looked up the definition, and they use words as severe, critical, drastic, and dire as synonyms to acute. So I'm like, okay, I know where they're going with this one. They're not going to tell you that it's even more of a small desire right now and tell you need a draft a wide receiver.
I mean, you don't think AI did their research in writing this article?
Right, yeah. Hypnotic wrote it. What's his name? Hippopotamus?
I think it's Hippolito.
Hippolito? Pichardo?
Yeah. Hip-toro. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Hip-toro.
I want a Hip-toro for Christmas.
So, yeah, I mean, I know, and Bink has said wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. I don't know. All the talk of it's going to be a wide receiver leads me to think they ain't picking a wide receiver at 32.
Right, yeah.
They're just not. Or they're moving up to pick a wide receiver, or they're moving out and definitely not picking a wide receiver.
Yeah, right. So what do you guys think?
So
wide receiver, tackle? I just think right now you're in a really good spot, right? You got Hollywood Brown. And, Josh, the wide receiver position may end up being one of those positions that you just get guys on one-year deals that want to come here and prove it and get some other team to overspend for them on the next year.
Yeah.
Because it's worked for Juju Smith-Schuster, right? He did some good things here, then went on and signed a nice contract to New England and was never to be heard from again. Mecole Hardman got some money from the Jets for that half a minute he was there and whatnot. So maybe guys look at this as they can come here. They can come make some plays here, quote unquote, revive their career, grab a ring, and then get paid next year. I mean, that may be the thinking right now.
And you can't one for one replace Travis Kelce. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when Travis Kelce is done, they may have to go a different direction, which may involving more wide receivers.
Right. And I'd like to see them, you know, draft a wide receiver.
But that's not, but you don't have to.
You don't have to. And and when you get into a position where you have to draft a position,
in trouble. That's why
you F up every time.
Yeah, that's why I think they don't have
to. Ask the Jets.
They don't have to at 32.
Ask anybody who's had to pick a quarterback how it's gone for them.
They might, but they don't have to.
The Chiefs didn't need to pick a quarterback when they drafted Patrick Mahomes, but they loved him, they wanted him, and they got him.
I think we all needed a quarterback then.
Wait, but you still had Alex Smith. No, you were fine. Like, literally fine at the quarterback position. You weren't great, but you were fine. These teams that, like, the Chicago Bears.
You can say you were fine, but all of us wanted a quarterback in that draft.
People were ready for it. No question.
Correct.
But they didn't have to draft a quarterback.
No, there are
when
teams that have to
draft a quarterback, yes, you suck.
Yes, yes, yes. You're picking at the top of the
draft. You're picking Zach Wilson. You're picking Mitchell Trubisky. You're picking Caleb Williams.
Top of the draft, yeah. J.J. McCarthy.
Right, J.J. McCarthy, yeah.
What? Did I say that out loud? What does it matter if our wide receiver is cute or not? It made me laugh from the 913. I'm with you. You needed a cute wide receiver. No, a cute wide receiver. No, acute. One word.
Acute.
One word.
It's never been more acute.
One word. So I would just say 32 doesn't have to be.
Who is the cutest wide receiver we have? I'm going to go with McColl.
I mean, you got Trav. I consider him. He's part of that group.
So. Okay. Yeah. All right.
He's got the swag.
Yeah.
He's Liddy. His drip is fire.
Travis?
Yeah.
Yeah. He knows how to work the aisles at Trader Joe's.
And then it's a discussion for a different day that I just really don't want to have, but the going and finding another tight end. You can't just go and find another Travis Kelce.
No, it's stupid to try.
You need to stop doing that.
You can't. I don't want to say you lucked into Travis Kelce, but you kind of lucked into Travis Kelce.
I think the next
tight
end for the Chiefs will just be a regular old tight end, and you'll go dynamic at different
positions. You'll figure it out. That's when you go dynamic wide receiver,
yes,
when you don't have a dynamic tight end.
Your wide
right?
receivers will be more of the emphasis than getting the ball to the tight end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody said that rugby guy's a good-looking man.
Yeah, all right.
913.
Perfect. After he smashes his face a few times, it's going to be a little pressed in.
Hey, let's talk to Vern. It's Josh Vernier, our Royals insider even. Good morning,
let's
Vern.
Good morning, fellas. How we feeling?
Outstanding, man. It's opening day. It's the best
love
day
opening
of
day.
The year, right?
Yeah, as I've mentioned, man, best opening day, most anticipation, most excitement, I think the most amount of hope that we've had since 2016. I know hopes were high in 2017, but of course we were in the wake of the passing of Yordano Ventura. So as far as the excitement and expectation from the fan base, I'm just so fired up for so many of these young Royals to see what Kansas City has to offer as a baseball city, and I'm hoping it lasts multiple weeks.
Yeah, right, and that's where we are, though, Vern. I mean, like, we were talking about it earlier before you joined us about how, like, opening day in baseball is the only sport where we make our decisions on our team in one day, right? Royals lose today. Everybody's panic. Oh, no, here we go again. It's going to suck, right? The Chiefs lose on opening night against Detroit. Like, whatever. Basketball opening night, nobody cares, right? But baseball opening day, not just here, but everywhere, everybody makes their immediate impact. Like, this is the last sport where a first impression carries you all season long.
And Cole Reagan's on the Hill, I think, is going to be a prime example of that. You're right as far as game one is a referendum on what the entire season is going to look like. I'm interested in the Cole Reagan's reaction. Well, I know what the reaction's going to be if he pitches well. It's right now he has the sixth best odds, according to DraftKings, to win the American League Cy Young. He pitches well today. I think it's going to be assumed in the city that he's going to win either the MVP or go to an All-Star game or win the Cy Young Award. But if things just are good or below average today, if he gets out-dueled by Pablo Lopez later on this afternoon or
who
doesn't get off to the great start, I'm curious to see how Kansas City Royals fans react to Cole Reagans. I was having this discussion last night with Dusty Likens. What is the expectation for Cole Reagans? Because to me, he's the biggest key to the season. I've pointed out him, Singer, and Melendez as my X, Y, and Z for 2024. But it was only a few years ago we thought Brady Singer was a number one. It was less than a decade ago we thought, oh, Danny Duffy, this is our guy. He's going to – and Duffy turned out to be, when healthy, a pretty solid number three or number four. Brady Singer right now is a number three, number four. I don't think that's going to happen to Cole Reagans. I think he has better stuff than both those guys. I think he has a better mentality, certainly, than Danny Duffy when he was in Kansas City. Cole Reagans has the entire package, but if we get to the end of 2024 and it's apparent that he's not Garrett Cole, but he's a solid number two, I certainly wouldn't view that as a disappointment, just like being outdueled by Pablo Lopez, a guy that many people say will win the American League Cy Young. I won't view that as a disappointment. So you're right about judging the entire team on one game. I'm hoping people don't judge Cole Reagans and what he's going to be on one game.
No, but I guess my expectation level, we were talking about it earlier, Bob, was that in order to get places this season, in the future, and not continue to kind of spin your wheels, I feel like we need that breakthrough guy. Like, he's definitively the top of the rotation guy. And not to heap a bunch of pressure, but heap a bunch of pressure on Cole Reagans. I need him to be that guy, or feel like, okay, well, then you're still kind of scrambling around. You got a couple of rentals that are nice in Lugo and Waka, but those aren't long-term fixes. We need the guy that has the long-term breakout, like 5-year long-term breakout, right? So I need it to be that guy, or we're still kind of spinning our wheels. Make sense?
Yeah.
Valid?
There's no question. You look at the division champions over the past decade, they've all had the stud. They've had Pablo Lopez or Sonny Gray, guys that are, you know, we could even go to Shane Bieber, Corey Kluber, guys that have won Cy Young Awards. If you're going to win a division, if you're going to be a consistent power in, you know, you can dump on the American League Central all you want. If you're going to dominate this division, Cole Reagans needs to be the rotation's Bobby Witt Jr. No, I don't disagree with you, and the team doesn't disagree with you. You see that in their actions this offseason. They're, again, aggressive in free agency, aggressive with Bobby Witt Jr., aggressive with Cole Reagans, giving him the opening day start, aggressive with another young starter, giving Alec Marsh that 5 spot and putting some big money in the bullpen when it comes to Jordan Lyles. Yeah, I don't disagree. This team, in my opinion, can't reach what opening day's about, hope and dreaming about the postseason.
Yeah.
I don't see the Royals reaching the postseason without that Cole Reagans showing up, a guy that we have no question who's the best on the team, who's the best on the staff, who's taken the ball in game one. That needs to be Cole Reagans if this team is going to compete for a postseason spot. They can still have a successful season if Reagans is good and not great, though.
Talking with Josh Vernier here on 610 Sports Radio, a Royals insider from the 816. Speaking of acute, that Josh Vernier lights my fire. So I'm just along that information
to
you, Vern. Yep.
Yeah. that's the text line to you every night. Yeah, you know that.
That's right.
You know that.
Yeah, that's Dusty or my mom.
Those are your people.
That's exactly right. So, Vern, I've got 10 large on Cole Reagans to win the Cy Young. I've got 10 large on Bobby Witt to win the MVP.
10 large dollars,
yes,
correct?
Yes, yeah, 10 large dollars.
Sure, I get it.
Yeah. $10. So big spender I am, right? Yep. Let me ask you this. Which one has the better chance of happening? Reagans with the Cy Young or Bobby Witt with the MVP? Which, the fact that we're having this conversation
is pretty great.
Is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Like, both of them are at the top in
right.
You know, game. So which one do you think has the better opportunity to happen?
I would go with Cole Reagans. I think a Cy Young award is less tied to team success than the MVP is.
Okay.
Understanding what happened with Mike Trout.
Who?
And Bobby's certainly capable of having a Mike Trout type season. Trout finished fourth, finished last, won an MVP. Bobby has that type of talent, but certainly Cole Reagans does as well. 5 different pitches, a triple digit fastball coming from the left side. He's going to be able to eat up that White Sox lineup. He should be able to eat up that Cleveland lineup. Going to face Minnesota and Detroit. Neither one of those two are intimidating like anybody in the East or in the West. So, yeah, I'll side with Cole Reagans. But, yeah, as you point out, it's crazy to think that a team coming off 106 losses, a team that hasn't won anything in almost a decade, that team throughout its fan base, there is so much hope. There is so much open talk of postseason. You have Mark Feinsand, the lead MLB.com writer, picking the Royals to win the division. It's crazy that they were so bad. We were so low last year, and yet there is so much hope. I think a lot of that is reflected in not only the aggressiveness this offseason, but also the fact that Bobby does have the sixth best odds to win MVP, and Reagans has the sixth best odds to win the Cy Young Award. It's reflective of a talented team that for the first time I think you got to go back to the 80s where you had that type of stud pitcher and that type of MVP talent in the field as well. It hasn't happened since George hung him up.
And that, like, I think the last time you could say a legit Cy Young candidate, legit MVP, was like Sabes and George together back in the day, right?
As a duo.
No question. But I think also too, you know, you're looking at this season and what the expectation level should be, and so many people are going with that 72-90. And Josh and I talked about it at the beginning of the show. There's 17 new dudes on this roster.
I think it hit me when we were talking to Vern on Monday. And he's like, there's just a handful of guys back that were here last year and opening day. And I thought, well. Then you can flip it. This has been a flip.
This is similar to the Chiefs, as Josh made a great point, Vern, like bringing in Tyrann Mathieu and those guys to clean out that defense after they lost to the Patriots in the championship game. The Royals kind of followed the Chiefs' MO. All right, all you guys that sucked, take care. We're bringing in new players. And so that's why I look at last season, I go 72-90 is a guess. And I'm more apt to go over that because I think with the leaders, the proven guys that know how to win and whatnot, like 72-90 is a disaster, I think, this year.
I can't say a disaster.
Okay.
I think we'll know if it's a disaster or not by the middle of
four
May
o'clock?
Because we
four over under 4 o'clock. They were going nice.
I was waving the white flag the middle of May. You started to at the end of April, I think, last season. I can't say 72-90 would be a disaster because I don't know what that looks like. Do they crumble in September? Because I'll have a tough time being disappointed if they're in it until September. As far as the turnover, yeah, I think that is the main reason for optimism. That's why so many players around the league, executives, and media members are enthralled with what this team could be in 2024. But yes, Cole Reagans is a new face, but we've already discussed just how much of a pendulum swinger he's going to be. If he's great, this team can go toe-to-toe with anybody. If he is a new Danny Duffy, well, then you're still looking for that guy that allows everyone to exhale when he's on the mound because he's going to make it hold up. He can stare down anybody on the opposing side, a lot like what James Shields did in 2013 and 2014. But outside of Cole Reagans, to me, this season still comes down to Brady Singer and MJ Melendez. Still going to come down to Bobby matching what he did last year and Salvador Perez improving on what he did last year. So a lot of the guys that were good and key to last season's disappointing campaign, they got to be good because they are key to this 2024 season. So if Singer is hot and cold like he was last year, if we see injuries pop up with anybody else in that rotation, do they have the depth? You know, injury pops up, and here we go. Daniel Lynch is back in this rotation, and here we go, hoping and praying that Daniel Lynch can find that consistency we've been waiting for him to find for the past half decade.
We talked to the skipper yesterday. We talked a lot of pitching, obviously, and you mentioned briefly, like, the lineup. I think we came across the impression like he was really happy they lengthened the lineup. They maybe got people in their maybe proper spots, a little bit more opportunity to have maybe more consistent offense. Did you see that in your time at spring training? Do you believe that can be the case?
Well, there's certainly something to and I talked about this with Adam Frazier, when you're driving to the ballpark and you know that the guy on the hill is going to give you a chance to win. Mm-hmm. You felt that in the second half with Cole Reagans. You felt that with Brady Singer in the second half of 2022. But this is why a guy like Whit Merrifield became what he became in a Royals uniform, because he's just understandably so very beaten down. And it's, in my opinion, so very impressive that Salvador Perez can continue to show up to the ballpark every single day expecting to win with a smile on his face when it's, you know, Glenn Sparkman on the hill or Birch Smith.
Oh, Birch Smith, that's a good name.
Thank you. What is that? I'm trying to think of a few other names, but that's the point. You know, Jacob Junis and Brad Keller's your opening day starter. You're running out a 40-year-old Zach Greinke. Standing on that first base line, you're thinking, we got to push six or seven. I mean, the numbers, the team ERA said, if you don't score six or seven runs, you stand no chance. That's a lot of weight, especially in the early season cold of Kauffman Stadium. That's a lot of weight to put on young hitters like there were so many of a season ago. Now, still quite a bit of young hitters, but they're going to be standing out there knowing Reagans and DeLugo and DeSinger and DeWaka and then the stuff of Alec Marsh. These guys are going to give us five innings and a chance to win most nights. And then the bullpen, the bullpen completely revamped. A lot of experience, a lot of postseason success in that bullpen. So if the rotation can eat up the innings to keep that bullpen fresh, Q has everything he needs as far as arms are concerned. That's why, to me, these first 6 weeks come down to the young bats. Can they find the type of confidence that can carry them throughout the season?
I heard somebody talking about managers the other day, and I can't remember where the hell it was now. They said, is so-and-so going to do a good job managing this year? I think it was for the Mets. And they said, does he have good players? And I think Hugh now has the opportunity to be a good manager because there's good players. Like, he didn't stand a chance last year.
No. And especially when it was kind of a, I don't want to say convoluted, but a difficult message that he's trying to pass along to that clubhouse of, you know, we want to build a winning culture, and yet we're going to run guys out there that are barely hitting or some weren't hitting above the Mendoza line. Meanwhile, you have, a Nicky Lopez or a Hunter Dozier that in their own right are not hitting all that well, but they're thinking, well, I'm better than this rookie that's out there. I'm better than this guy out there. Why aren't I getting at bats? And that causes issues, not in the clubhouse, but just the psyche of a team, the mentality of a player. You're not all, I know this is cliche, but you're not all tugging on the same end of the rope. There's no question that this team is together. Now, they haven't played a game. They certainly haven't lost a game yet. So we'll see if that continues.
Probably won't.
But the way that this team talks, the focus of the squad, the attention to detail throughout spring certainly appears as all 26 are on the same end.
And when do you think, before we let you go, we'll see Francisco Cortez at the big league level? Like, what's it going to take to get him up here this year?
I don't even want to talk about what it would take because it's an injury. And no, you don't want to see him this year because that means either Michael at third or Bobby at short, that one of those two went down. Now, that also means that he's tearing it up down at low A.
Yeah.
But I certainly wouldn't hold my breath that you're going to see.
Low A, you found him. Okay, cool.
All right.
Thank you, Vern.
You won't see him. I'll say 2026 in the second half of the season.
Very good. Right. Enjoy the bunting and the hot dogs, and we'll see you in the
ballpark. I will, boys. Thank you.
Thanks, Vern. Josh Vern, you're our Royals insider. 2 o'clock for his pregame coverage today. 3:10 first pitch with the Royals and Twins in the opener today, right here on 610 Sports Radio. We talked about best ballpark food. I guess we got to get to the worst, too.
Oh,
don't
God,
we?
Yes.
Next.
Yes.
We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. If you want to be
having a great time.
You want to be
loving the fun.
You want to see all of the excitement. This is the place, and we're the one. If you want to be yelling like crazy for the guys you love to see. Come on out and join us, this is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
Back in, brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology, the number one professionally installed garage door opener. You can find them at RainerKC.com. We've been discussing ballpark food all day today because we're super hungry now. So we talked the good. What about the bad? What's your least favorite ballpark food? Because strangely enough, My favorite is also my least favorite.
The hot dog. Oh, right.
And it's the hot dog.
The hot dog. Yeah.
Because the hot dog's not great.
It's never a great hot dog.
It's just
no.
You got to have it.
Right.
And you got to do it. And I don't. It's not the you have it and you go, oh, I so regret this. It's just, no, I gotta do it.
Right.
And it's fine and I pretend I enjoy it, but at the heart of it, it's usually not very good.
No, it's just a normal hot dog, especially those dollar dog nights that are made like 3 weeks in advance and kept in a warmer.
Those are
always terrible.
Those are terrible and great.
Right, yeah.
But like at the top of my worst ballpark food, wherever it's at, are the hot dogs.
The hot dog,
they're usually not very good, and yet I can't get enough of them.
No, I know. It's really weird and bizarre like that, because every time you get a hot dog at the ballpark, you feel disappointed. And you're like, I need three more, right? You really do get let down by the hot dog. But I also think...
I need three more, but they're $7, so I don't really want another.
Want another one, but, it's not satisfying. For me, it's like a donut. I eat a donut, and I'm like, why did I just do that? There's no redeeming quality of this donut at all. I'm not satisfied, right? I want to be satisfied when I eat.
Makes sense.
Right? Another terrible ballpark food, like this was in vogue back in the day. Maybe it still is in certain cities. A friend of mine texted me because I like sushi at the ballpark. You do? Sushi at the ballpark sucks. Like gas station sushi may be ranked higher than ballpark sushi. I don't eat sushi at the ballpark.
It feels like they're not probably taking the proper time to put that
together.
Right,
and it's probably just, some kind of cheap imitation crab meat wrapped in some rice. I don't need sushi at the ballpark at all.
Not at all.
Also, you guys know that I have my thing about nachos.
Right.
Right? Like, spread it. I want spread it out nachos. I want a nice presentation.
You'll eat them in a helmet.
Right. In a helmet, it's all no holds barred. I also don't like when
I don't understand.
I also don't like when you phone it in and you give them a cardboard tray with a bag of Tostitos.
Oh, that's the keg.
And
that's the keg.
And a peel back cheese.
And you get no jalapenos.
Yeah.
And a peel-back cheese. That ain't trying.
No, that's half-assed.
I don't like trying.
Yeah.
If you want to spread them out yourselves and do that, I don't like that.
Right.
I don't
want to have to work. I just paid $22 for this little bit of chips and Tostitos.
And you're really showing people like the amount of chips you're getting for those.
Give me an attempt at a presentation. Pump the cheese.
Right.
Give me the extra cheese. I want the chips to be,
I want everything. I want soggy chips
with jalapeno juice.
A little bit of presentation.
Come on.
Here's a bag of Tostitos and some cheese.
No.
That cheese expired in the 90s. It's fine.
No.
It's fine.
No.
It's frozen. It's fine.
It's all good.
And the future ain't Dippin' Dots.
Oh,
it's the worst.
Suck.
I hate to break it to you.
Terrible.
They ain't the future.
Worst.
If they're the future, where are they?
We're in the future now.
Right. They've been telling me this is the ice cream of the future for a generation.
I hate it.
It's stupid. It's nasty. It's horrible. Dippin' Dots blow ass.
Why do the kids love them? And every adult's
I don't know.
Every time we go to the ballpark, they want the fruit and the chocolate or Dippin' Dots.
Maybe their palates haven't developed yet.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. But yeah.
What else is on the list? 913-586-7610.
Cotton candy blows, too. Cotton candy is horrible.
I like
to let it
dissolve in my mouth. I like that feeling.
But it feels like a giant waste of time.
Cotton candy?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's just sugar on a stick that's like cotton.
And it just gets all over your fingers.
Licking your fingers.
It
and then
gives you know you want to be full. You're not full.
Oh, you're not full from cotton candy.
At all.
And then if you want to share cotton candy, think about your dirty hands touching all of that you've licked. It's just a mess. Like, I am a germaphobe. I think about these things. I'm nuts. But the cotton candy thing, it's always moist and, oh, God. Like, when we used to take the kids when they were little to the game, right, and they would get the cotton candy, that was always the mess.
Yeah.
Cotton candy everywhere. They're sticky for days.
But again, the best part of that is your wife was there.
Sometimes.
I'm saying because if they...
Usually I was the one that would buy this stuff for them, which I know is a shocker.
If it's just the dudes going, they don't have wipes. At least your wife has wipes to clean up the
sticky
the
finger
sugar. We went to go get a napkin and that ain't gonna work.
Then the napkin sticks to your fingers.
That ain't gonna work.
And you walk around with this napkin.
At least they're there to save us.
Yeah, yes. I guess.
You're a pretzel guy.
I am a pretzel guy.
Yeah, are you ever satisfied with a ballpark pretzel?
If it's the Bavarian pretzel, it satisfies me. If it's the regular, like they just bought it out at the freezer and threw it in, no, that's not satisfying at all. Like those ones they sell at the grocery store suck. Yeah. That's the other thing. We are a pretzel desert here in Kansas City. We need better pretzel options in Kansas City. I love soft pretzels, warm, soft pretzels, right? Quick Trip's got a good one. Other than that, there's not many great pretzel options in Kansas City. So when I go to the ballpark and I see that Bavarian pretzel, I get it every time. I love it.
I remember being as a kid when you saw that the pretzel hanging.
Yeah.
Don't try to give me the one with limited salt.
No, I want all the
Put
salt
that one
I'm
back.
Supposed to have.
Give me the one behind it that's got all of the salt.
I want all the big salt.
All the salt.
All the salt, yeah.
Yeah. Somebody 816, Fesco, quote, I like to let it dissolve in my mouth. That's a new drop right there. Make sure you hit save. Okay, thank you. We'll try not to lose it either.
Somebody in the 913 wants to fight. Twizzlers suck. Oh, hey, man. Twizzlers are one of the reasons I was 300 pounds. Mm. You open a bag of Twizzlers, I'm eating it all. Mm. Oh, it's the 1 pound family size? Cool. I'm still eating it all.
All of it. All of it. All of it. You can continue to weigh in at 913-586-7610, the Jay's Southland Tow Service text line. Coach Josh took a hit yesterday. We need to get to it next.
I like it's to let stupid. It dissolve in my mouth. I like that feeling.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.